All right, so we figured out why we need this page. We figured out who we are and what we provide. We finally got to list our services and programs and what they're going to get out of it. Now we come to case studies and testimonials. So why are these so important, and why do we need to get them? Because they're so hard to get sometimes.
Well, we'll talk about getting them later. Let's talk about the purpose of them and the structure of them and where to put them on the page and how to organize them first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And case studies and testimonials are so valuable because one of the first questions people have after is this for me and how do you work and what do you have? Often this question even comes before that is, what have they done? Have they worked with people like me? Have they gotten results? Are they credible? Do they know what they're doing? Can they prove that they can do all the stuff that they've talked about on the site? So some people jump to case studies right away. And therefore, case studies needs to stand on its own. In reading the case studies, people should get a lot of things. They should get the kind of clients that you work with. They should get a little bit about what you do and how you do it and how you approach it. And, of course, they should get a very good sense of the bottom line results that you produce. So in some ways, a good case study story that's anywhere from a quarter page long to a half page long or sometimes longer can accomplish all of what we've talked about in the other previous pages. But you really can't just have a website that only has case studies. You know, people look from different points of view. You know, I want to know the structure of the services. Well, I want to know more about the person. I want to know more if he works with me. So that's why you have all these different facets on your website. But I often say the central part of a website can be those case studies, because in just reading one or two or case two or three case studies, it can prove very conclusively for many people that you know what you're doing, you can produce the results, you're competent, and you work with people like them, and it can be very exciting for people to read these. So testimonials are a little bit different. Testimonials are what a client has said about how you work. So it accomplishes the same thing, but it's a different format. So let's talk about the case study format to begin with. A case study works like this. It's really three parts. It's the problem or situation, what was going on before we started working with the client, and what are some of the challenges that the client needed to address. So a client called us in the manufacturing industry, and their widgets were broken, and they didn't know how to fix their widgets, and blah, 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 and they were at a loss with the widget problem, you know, whatever that particular thing is. Then is, what's the solution? What is the activity or the thing that you actually did? Now, you don't have to go into a huge amount of detail here, but you have to give people enough of a sense that you came in, you worked with them, you did a few things, you applied your skills, your magic, and you know, we came in and interviewed a lot of the employees. We determined that such and such was going on and discovered this. What we determined we needed to do was to do some intensive training in this area and hands-on coaching with some of the leaders to enable them to do this and this. So you have a paragraph or two on the basics of what you do. Then the final piece of a case study is, what came out of the work together that we did together. Now, as a result of doing this work, this particular department or division of the company went from being the bottom of productivity to the top. In fact, last year, they won the XYZ award for the most improved division in the company, and the head of the company was promoted to vice president of the whole company. So, obviously, you want to find case studies that highlight the best work that you've done and the best results that you've produced. If you are new at doing what you're doing, and if you're a consultant, it's okay to put in case studies of things that you did, if you were indeed responsible for them, in previous companies that you worked with. In most cases, case studies are anonymous. That is, you don't say, you know, I worked with Hewlett-Packard and did such and such. we worked with a large Silicon Valley technical company. Later on, you can say, if you'd like specific references to these companies that we've mentioned, we'd be happy to give them to you. But most companies don't want a case study that you've written that says, you know, we were a total mess, our widgets were a mess, we were going out of business. That doesn't really reflect on them well. So you have to be politically correct in terms of putting these together. So I don't recommend putting names usually. So I'm not going to read this one, but in the PDF guide for this, I give an actual sample case study from a food service consultant. And again, we give you several examples of pages that have lots and lots of case studies. Let me also explain how to organize this page. A good way to organize it, I believe, is very much like the services page, in which you have an introduction that says, you know, here are a number of people that we've worked with and the results that we've produced for them, et cetera, et cetera. And then underneath, you have those four or five or six case studies as an extract. You just say briefly in two or three sentences what this one is about, and then click here for details. The ones I like best is it opens up in a separate page that's smaller that just has that brief case study. And they can click back to the home page of the case studies, read another one. Very simple way. And you'll see that that's done on several of the example pages that we've given. So any questions about the basic format for case studies?
No, that seems pretty straightforward. I think most of the case studies that I click on, it seems like a lot of copy to read. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you'd follow the same rules here. You'd still bold the topic sentences in these things so that people could get through the case study and kind of figure out the direction this thing would go.
You want to give them a good sense of what you did, but this is not a 10-page report. I like to keep case studies like this at a page or less if you possibly can.
Okay.
So it's easy to scan. You get a good sense of who you worked with and what you did and the results you produce. And the result, of course, if you can be specific, if you can get into actual numbers, that can really make a difference. If you say, for instance, and the division was improved considerably, what does that mean? But they had a 33% increase in factory output in the third quarter. That says something. So to the degree that you can measure, put some measurement in there. I do have to add one other thing. I talked about case studies in an e-zine recently, and I got a lot of emails saying, what if you're just starting and you have no case studies whatsoever? For instance, you're a coach. You've never worked with anybody. I say to begin with, don't put case studies on your page, but work at getting them as soon as you possibly can. And in fact, tell people at the beginning, I'm building this business and I want to do such a great job with you and make such a difference in your business, your life, whatever it is, that we can actually write up a case study of your business and talk about the results. So I want you to know that that's my commitment to really work towards a result that I'd be proud to talk about. And then you've set the tone for it and you can interview them later about the results. And you write your first case study. After you have three of them or so, then create a section on your website and put them up. But, don't make stuff up or have things that are rather really sketchy. That will hurt you more, You really have to be specific about what you've done and what you've accomplished.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
the next part is testimonials, and interestingly, the person who's interviewing me, Bill Metcalf, is probably one of the top experts in anywhere about testimonials. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what you want in a testimonial and the purpose of a testimonial and where to put them on the page. And I'm also actually going to get a little bit of information from Bill and some ideas from him. One of the things is where do you put testimonials? Should you have a separate page for testimonials on your site? My answer is sometimes, but my preference is to sprinkle testimonial quotes throughout your site. They might be in the left margin or the right margin on every page. If you have a really good testimonial that gives a sense of what it was like to work with you and who you are as a person, you might take that testimonial and put it on the About Us page, because you have a whole bunch of stuff that you said about you, and then at the bottom, that testimonial validates it. Robert is a fabulous person to work with. We couldn't have done without him. He's a wonderful guy, blah, 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 whatever it is they say, then that really adds to that page. If you have a testimonial around a particular service that you offer, you might go to your service page and insert that testimonial. If you have one that talks more about his approach or philosophy, you put it on the How We Work page. If you have something that highlights your understanding of their industry in working with these kinds of clients, you might put it on the Who We Work page. It says, Robert has an amazing understanding of our particular industry and circumstances. When we work with consultants, one of the biggest complaints we have is they don't really understand what we're doing. We have to spend so much time educating them. Robert, on the other hand, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And so you find places that would be appropriate. People are always sending me quotes about my workshops or my marketing action groups, and so I don't just put one testimonial on the page. Sometimes I have four or five sprinkled throughout the page because people are looking at that page and really considering, should I do this program? Well, I try to give people as much reason as possible. Here's someone that did it. This is specifically what they got from the program. They're very happy. The inference is you'll be happy as well. Sometimes I will get a little picture of that person that had the quote and put it in. It adds a graphic interest and attracts people to the quote better than just putting a quote in. So if you can do that, great. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to get these, and then I'm going to get some ideas from Bill. There's a lot of ways to get a testimonial. It's nice if someone just writes one unsolicited and just says the right thing, and you can put it on your website. And that will happen in many cases. Sometimes it's a good idea to ask people ahead of time, you know, my goal is to produce great results from you. If we produce results that you're satisfied with, would you be willing to write a testimonial for us that we can put on our website or put in our marketing materials? Most people will say, sure, that's fine. I'd be happy to do that. Sometimes, though, it's a dilemma. It's hard to get a good testimonial written. You get someone that's very willing to do it, but what's the problem, Bill, is they never get around to it, right?
Right.
They'd write it if they could. And there's a few ways to do this. One is you write it. You've talked to them. You know what the results are. You have a good sense of what you produced, and you just write it yourself. You know, it's a little hard for some people because you're boasting about yourself through their voice, but you write it, and then you run it past them and say, what do you think? And sometimes they'll say, oh, I couldn't have written it better myself. Fantastic, wonderful, you can use it. People love it when you do that. Or sometimes they'll say, well, I wouldn't quite say that. Let me work on it a bit, and they'll edit it a bit, and then it will be fine. And then you use it. You don't want these, by the way, 2 pages long. These are, again, 1 or 2 short paragraphs that talk about what it was like to work with you and the results that you produced. Another way that you can do it is you interview them and say, you know, I want to get more specifically what you got as a result of working with me. Can you tell me some of the main things that you got? And then they'll talk. Maybe you record this or you just write notes and then you create it. You write it yourself, feed it back to them, edit it, and there you have it. Now the problem with that is often when... sorry, I got to have a break here too.
Okay.
The problem with you interviewing someone for a testimonial quote is that person that was your client is usually not going to say certain things to you directly that they would say to other people. Isn't that right, Bill?
Yes. It's pretty amazing. They will say things to perfect strangers that they won't say to you. But I think it's like that old joke of the person in the bar. But enough about me. What do you think about me?
Right. So it's very awkward for people to ask these questions. But so, you know, something that I've done in the past is I've interviewed clients of my clients to get these testimonial quotes for a brochure or a website. And the kind of results we got, you know, I've done this half a dozen times, the results were just amazing. People said virtually, literally, this person walks on water. I couldn't imagine a better result. They were amazing. But they would never say that to them in person. You're the best in the world. It's just hard to say. It's just not done in polite conversation. Whereas if I interview them, I just got such amazing things that I could write down and edit and fine-tune. I sent it back to them. They say, yes, this is exactly it. When the client looked at it, they blushed. It was so wonderful. It was like, wow, they said that about me? That's fantastic. And then I had to convince them, yes, we want to put that in the brochure, because they really did say that about you. When you get someone else to interview you, you get the very best kinds of testimonials when you get them to interview the client. So, you know, Bill Metcalf, who I'm talking to, has a business that specializes in doing that. Not only that, he turns those into audio format so that you can actually listen to and, in some cases, see a little presentation online, sort of a mini movie, in which Bill is interviewing the client and the client is telling what it was like to work with this person and the results they got. Extraordinarily powerful. Why don't you just talk about that a little bit for a little bit, Bill?
Okay. Well, I first off, since this is a product to help people with things, I'd like to suggest a couple of things that I've picked up about asking for people for help.
Right.
And why don't we start with that? And I've got five tips for them that I think they should keep in mind. Number one, never ask for marketing help. I mean, why should they help you with your marketing?
Right.
Granted, you're a nice guy, and granted, you did business, but they paid you a lot, hopefully, for your services, and their goal is not to help you with marketing help. So I never ask for an endorsement or a testimonial or marketing help.
Okay.
What I do is I'll ask myself, first off, how could me interviewing them about what I did for them benefit the client?
Mm.
So what I want to do is I want to look at I want to focus on the process that we went through, because I want to try to create an interview with somebody that's so good that they'd want to put it on their web page. In other words, if I'm a coach and I worked with somebody and they had this enormous breakthrough and they became very successful, well, that's a great thing for people to know that this person became very successful. And it's also worthwhile for people to know that they had to work to get it and overcome it. So or a company, if they did something with me and because of this they're now serving their customers better than ever before,
mm-hmm.
then that shows them to be an outstanding company. So I want to think about, you know, how could I create something that would be so good that they'd want to put it on their site? Third, give them the final edit. People are always worried about the fact that they're going to be taken out of context. It used to be when we were shooting commercials and doing $20,000, $30,000 in a commercial, you couldn't afford it. You had to get a release ahead of time. And frankly, almost all of those endorsements in typical commercials were universally bad. They were obviously canned and they weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Give people a final edit approval. In other words, when I finish an interview and I get it all produced, I put it up on the web and I tell the raving fan, if you don't like something, we'll change it. If you completely think it's awful and don't want to use it, we won't use it. Now think about the logic behind this. Would you ever put up an endorsement from a customer on your web page that didn't like the endorsement?
Right, you wouldn't want that.
Yeah, because they you know, somebody contacts them, they say, I wish those people had never put that up there. I hate that.
Yep.
So the fact of the matter is, give it to them up front, and that makes them relax.
Right.
Fourth, ask tough questions. Ask questions the way a prospect would like to ask. Now, that's hard when you're doing it yourself. And so let's deal with that right away. People that are listening to this, if they can't afford to have somebody from the outside like me do this, you get a partner, get a buddy, get somebody else, at least somebody else within your company besides the person who actually did the service.
Don't or get another associate.
Get somebody to
maybe
ask
you actually
these questions.
Trade it. You interview their clients, they interview
exactly,
your clients.
Exactly.
That works too.
Great place to find somebody to help with that is right on Robert's Info Guru list. You find somebody else that's already trained in marketing and you ask each other the questions. So that's a great way to do it. But ask tough questions. Now, like a good district attorney, I never ask a question that I don't know the answer to. So I usually find out from my clients ahead of time what this person will say if I say to them, you know, this seems like really expensive stuff. I mean, I can't believe you paid this consultant this much money.
Mm.
And I ask the question just that way because that's exactly what I think the client is, the prospect is thinking. Now, I don't ask that if I don't know that this person is probably going to come back and say, are you kidding? I made my investment in this person and they increased my sales, you know, from $200,000 a year to over $1 million. I'll take that bet anytime.
Right.
Now, the difference in asking the question in that way is that you incite the passion on the other person's part and they come back much stronger than you would ever believe. So ask the tough questions. The last one is, like I said, let somebody else ask these questions somehow. Find some way get somebody else to ask these questions because the bottom line is nobody's going to gush about you to your face. They also sometimes won't tell you the problems because in many times when I interview customers like that, I find out problems or areas of improvement or things that you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of strategic information from these people if you ask the right kinds of questions. So that's kind of how to ask. And the second part I'd like to think about is how to use it. You already mentioned the idea of, I mean, a lot of people do kind of a testimonial page. And some of my clients will do that, and one of them had me do 19 interviews. She has 8 of them on her website. And interestingly enough, though, she charges a fair amount of money. And one of the clients I actually interviewed for this process told me that they went through the website and every single name they could find on the website as a reference, they checked it. They looked them up on the internet, they found them, sent them an email, or called them. And so, you know, having testimonials on your website, make sure they're still in love with you.
Yes, absolutely. But also the thing I'd like to interject is if you're selling high-level services, this kind of thing is extremely prudent investment. You know, I'm not sure what it's Vicki Sullivan. We can say her name. I'm not sure what she charges for her services, but it's not cheap, and she knows that. So this is why she spent a lot of money and time doing these very high quality audio and visual testimonials, because you listen to them. And basically, they say, Vicki walks on water. She turned my business from this to this in less than a year. And people really get it. It's a big investment, but boy, it really is paying off. And there's so many expensive consulting, coaching, training, and other kinds of services that the price stops them. But these kind of testimonials get people over that gap because they really talk about someone that produced a result, invested in that service, and it's extraordinarily persuasive.
Absolutely. And she had that happen just the other day. Somebody called and said, well, you really should listen to these these stories on my website. And, you know, I always worry because the ones I put up are relatively long. And he says, I listen to every one of them. That's why I'm calling.
Yeah.
And they closed the deal. So it's kind
exactly
of what you said about the web page can bring you a client that's ready to sign. I mean, he was ready to sign before she did any selling to him. So
yes.
Beyond the full length testimonial that might be long and you might put it on a separate testimonial page, I love the idea that you've said about sprinkling them throughout your site. And I also love the idea that maybe you only pull out of, I do kind of long format testimonials where I really try to dig in and find out what the value proposition is. But some people look at that and say, well, gee, I don't know if I want to put up something that long. Well, don't. Put up 30 seconds, put up
mm-hmm.
20 seconds of a piece that just hits exactly the button you need. And it may not be the positive statement. You know, most people think they're only going to put up the positive things. Well, Another thing you can do is on the page where the people are saying, you know, these are the people we saw, we serve.
Yes.
Vicki doesn't do this, and this is something I told her that she could do, but she's getting so much business she doesn't need it. But on the page where somebody's listing the problem, what would happen if you heard the problem in the voice of a prospect?
Uh-huh.
So when I was interviewing John Warner, one of her prospects, she says, he said on the interview, "Oh my gosh, we were working so hard. We were spending so many hours, and it was so much work, and we just weren't getting anywhere." And then we talked to Vicki. Stop.
Yeah.
And you play that, just that 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And so that's
very good.
The person listening to that says, "That's my problem."
Yes, very good.
But
very
they're
good.
Not hearing it articulated by you. They're hearing it articulated by a client. So short clips are great. MP3 files. I mean, you can take a very short clip today, and you can send a 30-second soundbite to somebody that's probably 35K. In other words, it's so small that anybody with a dial-up connection can get it. And you could send it to them and say, "You know, I thought about our conversation today, and I think what you need to do is you need to think about it the way this client was. Listen to this 30-second soundbite. If you like it, come back to my website, click on this, read this article, listen to the full interview, anything that's going to get them back to your website." So it's a great way to follow up or to get an interview with somebody that you think you can't get through is sending a short little MP3.
That's a terrific idea. You're giving me ideas, Bill. I should maybe insert some of those little clips into my e-zine. But we're getting a little far afield from this actually page. But I hope people are starting to get the idea that testimonials can go way beyond what you've thought a testimonial can be. First of all, you want it to be very results-oriented, and you'll get better testimonials if you get someone else to interview them. And even if you just get someone else to interview them and write it down, that's better than the way most of us get testimonials. And then if you want to go to the next level, hire Bill or find someone else that can do these audio testimonials for you. They can be extraordinarily powerful. So why don't we wrap up this page with the basic action plan? You want to read all the information in the PDF. You want to visit some sample sites, and then you want to start writing these case studies and putting these case studies together. You want, you know, at least a minimum of three. Five or six is not a bad idea. It's a good idea if they sort of span the range of the kind of things that you do for your clients. If you have several services, if you only have a case study for one kind of service, it's kind of unbalanced. If you have a case study for several kinds of services that you offer, it's much more balanced. And once you've put that all together, you have a first draft of the sort of summary page of the case studies, and then a page each for the case studies, then it's time to move on to the next part, which is the About Us page.